Yes. Ah, praise the Lord. Title of my message this morning is Let God Strike the Match in Your Heart. For this new year, let God fill us full of passion. Let us have the passion again that maybe we've lost that drive or that passion. But God, give us that passion back. And I want to talk about passion today. And how much in this new year we need to be about the Father's business more than ever before. Someone once said this, there are many things in life that will catch your eye, but only a few will catch your heart. Only a few will catch your heart. And some of the top CEOs say this, no trait is more noticeable in leaders on our list than the passion they share for their people and their companies. Quite simply, they said, they love what they do. Let me ask you this morning, do you love what you do? Think about that. Maybe there's some things that you say, well, I don't really care about what I do, but you know what? God can give us compassion and He can give us contentment in those areas that we so much need. When we talk about passion, we're not talking about a brand of perfume or something that Hollywood thinks it's so explicit, you know, steamy nature or a television show or a novel, but we're talking about something that is from the throne of God. Now, I want you to write this down. When we talk about passion this morning, we're talking about a burning drive God places within us to change the world. We're talking about the motivation we feel to go about His work. When passion burns inside of us, we focus on life more easily and effectively. So when we talk about passion this morning, people, we're talking about something that has to be God. It has to be God that's going to put that within us, that drive within our hearts. My scriptures today are 2 Timothy 1:4. Let's look at this. It says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus the Messiah, appointed by God's pleasure to announce the wonderful promise of life found in Jesus, the anointed Messiah. My beloved son, now Paul is talking to Timothy here. Timothy was a young pastor. Timothy, they felt like Timothy was, you know, 17, 18 when he started pastoring a church. He said, my beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love, and total well-being to flow into your life from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a good prayer. And you know what? I pray that over you right now. I pray for a greater release of God's grace, His love, and total well-being to flow into your life this new year from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. Verse 3 says, you know that I've been called to serve the God of my fathers with a clean conscience. He said, night and day I pray for you, thanking God for your life. I know that you have wept for me, your spiritual father, and your tears are dear to me. I can't wait to see you again and filled with joy. That's passion. That's passion when we can begin to pray for other people that maybe have even pushed us the wrong way. We can pray for people. We can pray for our neighbors. We can pray for our loved ones. We can start to pray for one another in the body of Christ. That's the passion that Paul is speaking right here. The first point I want you to write down is, you know, in order to have passion, we need to reach up to God. I believe, people, that this is a year that, you know, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions and they say, well, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to change all these things. And we get in about a month and we stop. But this is not about a New Year's resolution. This is about something that we need to do in order to have the passion of God drive us forward in what he wants us to do. Everyone wants to be connected to something, but many people today are plugging their lives into a dead wall socket. We need to plug into God. We need to plug into God. We need not only reach up to God daily for ourselves, but also for one another. God is asking us to begin to pray for one another. You can look around. Everybody look around this place right now. You see people that you know. Maybe some you don't. But every day you can remember them to pray for them. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring people to your mind. But we need to pray for one another. Look at verse 2. It says, "My beloved son, I pray for a greater release of God's grace, love, and total well-being to flow into your life from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ." Paul prayed for Timothy. He lifted him up. And I believe Timothy prayed for Paul. James 5:16 says this, "Confess to one another, therefore, your faults." How many know that's hard to do? See, when you begin to go to somebody and you confess your faults to one another, that means you want accountability. We live in a world today that nobody wants to be accountable for anything. They don't want anybody to make them accountable because it might be a one-way street. They want you to be accountable, but they themselves refuse to be accountable. So what Paul is saying here is when we begin to confess to one another our faults, our slips, our false steps, our offenses, our sins, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. And I'm going to say this, the reason why we as Christians sometimes struggle and that we're not healed and we're not whole is because we hold everything in. And we refuse to release that, take responsibility for it, and let it go. And we got to do that. Even if it's between you and God, you've got to go to God and say, "Lord, I'm holding some things in my life, and I need to confess some things." And then when you go to God, God might say, "Well, you need to go to so-and-so, and you need to let them pray for you." Because that's accountability. Because when you start sharing, you know, "I'm struggling in this area," and a lot of times people are afraid to say anything to anybody is because they don't want it on the news, 10 o'clock news. Amen? But you got to find somebody you trust that can keep it in confidence, but you can have accountability partner. Women with women, men with men. You notice I brought that in there? Okay? That keeps the temptation out. But accountability, even with a husband and wife, is okay. But you got to have that accountability because if you don't, you can never be free the way you need to be free. You'll carry that thing. It'll just beat you up. It'll torment you. And that's not what you need. Amen? But Paul understood that the spiritual life that was pulsating within him was given to him by God alone. And he wanted Timothy, he wants you and me to share in that. Paul was an apostle sent of Jesus Christ according to the will of God and according to the promise of life that he had found in Jesus Christ. He had experienced God's grace. He had experienced God's mercy. He experienced God's peace. All those graces were like lumps of coal fueling his passion for his life and work. I believe Paul the apostle is one of the most passionate people that were ever in the kingdom at that time. I really do. He was passionate. King David was passionate. But Paul, when you read his stories, he was passionate. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. Even when he was shipwrecked 3 times, he was beaten with rods. He was stoned to be killed. He was whipped. Less one stripe of 40, 39 stripes. He was persecuted everywhere he went. But yet it was Paul that was saying that he prayed for Timothy. He prayed for other people. He remembered them daily in his prayers. He had a passion to begin to, the passion of the Lord to begin to pray for those that were struggling. The second point, write this down, people. We need to reach inside of ourselves. See, passion is when we learn to reach inside of ourselves and know who we are in God. When we can understand what God has put in us. Hey, listen, there's a lot of us that have a lot of stuff in us of the Holy Spirit that we haven't tapped into yet. Timothy 1:5 says this, as I think of your strong faith that was passed down through your family line, it began with your grandmother Lois, who passed it on to her dear mother Eunice, and it's clear to you that you too are following in the footsteps of their godly example. More than anything, this is what we pray. We pray that our children, our grandchildren, our loved ones would follow in our footsteps. Sometimes they go astray. Sometimes they get off course. But that's when we pray and we believe God and we trust God that God's going to take care of them and bring them back. Amen? That's why we pray and we believe God. But here we have a story of Timothy being raised in a Christian home. His mother, his grandmother had laid a foundation in his life, a sincere faith foundation. If we're going to be passionate in life, we've got to decide to stop being a victim and become victorious winner that God ordained us to be. We've got to let go of the victim mentality. There's too many victims and not enough victors in the world. God is looking for people that will just forgive, release, and move forward. There's some people just won't do it. They just won't get through it. But you got to let it go and you got to move on because God's got some great things for us and great things are inside of us that God wants to birth forth that he's put in there. But the thing is, I can either be a victim or I can be a victor in life. It's my choice. And I was thinking about this, that everything that we do in this world is a choice. And the choices that you and I make, the consequences can be very grave. Some of us made bad choices, but aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Amen. Aren't you glad that God forgave us? He forgot it and he let it go. There's some things that we've done in life that haunt us and they follow us. And even when God's forgiven us, even when God's wiped it away, but some of those things want to follow you and begin to haunt you. But you have a choice. You can either be a victim of it or you can keep the victory over it. And we choose the victory, amen? That's our choice. We've got to trust God, people, with confidence of the plans that he has for our life. God's got some great plans for your future. And we've got to trust him for that. When we allow the seeds of God's word to germinate and grow inside of us, when we walk in faith every day, we will have everything that we need for do what we need to do in the kingdom and in our life. Look at Ephesians 3:16. I really need prayer for new lungs, trust me. Ephesians 3:16, let me read this. To be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. By the Holy Spirit himself indwelling in your innermost being and personality. Verse 17, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. Paul was simply reminding us that in Christ, as we reach down inside of ourselves, people, you and I are going to discover that we have the necessary foundation to be what God has called us to be and what others can be as you and I stir up and motivate them to be all God wants them to be. That's what God has called us to do. I like that. The way to become the man-child is for us to be daily strengthened into our inner man, to be empowered to experience the riches of Christ, and to be strong through putting on the all-inclusive Christ as the armor, taking the word by means of all prayer. What God has done for you and I, you can't put a price tag on that. You just can't. God has done a miracle in our lives. You're a miracle. You're all a miracle. Turn to somebody and say, you're a miracle. By the grace of God. Amen. By the grace of God. Some of God, I don't dare say that. We're all a miracle of God. Number three, write this down. We need to reach down to others. We talked a little bit more about this. 2 Timothy 6:7 says, I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God imparted to you when I laid my hands on you. For God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. Let me read that again. I'm writing to encourage you to fan into a flame and rekindle the fire of the spiritual gift God has imparted in you. When I laid my hands on you, for God will never give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control. Amen? Paul urged Timothy to fan into flame the gift he had been given to him by God. Every one of you have a gift from God. Every one of you have something imparted in you by the Holy Spirit. There's an anointing within each of you. 1 John says, and the anointing is in you. Now, there's natural gifts. People can do things with their hands. There's things they can do that other people can't do. But every one of us have natural gifts. But also there are spiritual gifts that are lying inside of us. And you know what? Timothy was living in the worst time in the history of Christianity. That's when Nero was burning the Christians at the stake. He was beheading. He was killing them. He was torturing them. He was throwing them to the lions. And Timothy was going through the tough time of his life. In Timothy's church, all his people, all his leadership came against him and left Timothy holding a bag. True story. That's the background of Timothy. Here you got an 18-year-old kid that's trying to run a church, and he's got people that are working against him. And I'll tell you what happened. A lot of people got afraid. They got in fear because of the persecution, and they left and joined the people so they wouldn't get killed. They turned their back on the gospel, and they accepted whatever the persecution was coming from Nero and the Roman government, said, we submit to you. And they gave into that, where Timothy stood strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Paul was talking to Timothy to stir up the gift that was in him. It's easy for fear. It's easy for things that we go through in life. It's easy for tragedies and things that have come against us in the life we live in. It's easy to back off and let passion die. It's easier just to be in maintenance mode. Just get by. Let's just get through this. And I understand that. It's one of those things where life will throw everything at you to get you to back off. That's what the enemy wants the church to do, just to back down, back off, so that they are not of a great influence into the dark world we live in. And that's what Paul was doing with Timothy. People had forsaken him. They had left him. And he was in fear. And Paul said, I pray. He said, Timothy, and I encourage you to fan into flame and rekindle the fire. You notice who he said to do it? Timothy. I have found this out, people, that if we don't do it, it won't get done. People can pray for you, but you have to get before God and you have to do what you need to do to rekindle the flame back into your heart. And that's what he was telling Timothy to do. He was telling Timothy it was necessary that Timothy obey because of there were so many countless numbers of others that needed to be touched by him in his ministry, just that had been that he'd been touched by Paul's. So Paul was telling him, Timothy, rekindle that because there's people that need you. They're depending upon you to minister to them. There's people out there that are dependent upon you and I to minister to them. Hebrews 10:24, let's look at this. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Interesting. I like this. Study them. How we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. That's so good, I want to read that again. And let us, not let us, but let us, you and I, consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. You're important in the body of Christ. If we would protect each other instead of shoot each other, we would be more aggressive in the kingdom. It is said that the Christian is the only one that kills its wounded. It shouldn't be that way. But we should watch out for each other, protect each other. Stir up. Thinking of ways to stir up each other, to stimulate and incite to love. How can I help you love more? But probably loving you, or loving you, and loving you. And a lot of times we say, well, I don't know how to love people. It's just not in me. I'm going to tell you what, when you step out in faith and start doing it, it'll show up. Passion will show up. Love will start showing up. Now, the passion says this, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of what? Compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Instead of going to them and say, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing it right. How many know that we are sometimes not going to do it right all the time? But encouraging others to do it better. Encouraging others. To be the best we can be. Amen? Ah, Laureen, bless your heart. That's going to be nice and strong. Thank you. For all you people, it's streamlined. All you people, I'm having a glass of lemon hot water. They're going, yes, I'm going to go get some right now. The whole reason to encourage each other is to spur each other on to do good works. Amen? To do good things. When a Christian is transformed by Jesus Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, the fire of passion ignites. Paul didn't want Timothy to become discouraged, for he believed in Timothy, And you know what? So did God. God believes in you and I for this great year to do the greatest that we've ever done for his kingdom. But it has to be passion. God's passion within us. Now it was time for Timothy to reach down to others and make the message of the gospel come alive. I know people, and I'm going to say this, I know that when we get hurt and we get wounded, the hardest thing to do is to reach out to others. It is. It's difficult. We want to be in our own world. Sometimes we want to just sit and lick our wounds and just shut everybody out and say, you know what, I'll never trust anybody again. Sometimes it's easy just to just stay away from people. I don't want to be around people, nothing but problems. But Paul was doing to Timothy what God wants to do in our hearts. Some of us have been through tough times in our life, and it throws at you. It really does. It throws a curveball. And it causes you to back off from the things of God. Not that you don't love God, but you back off from what God has for you in your life. Because we're afraid that if we step out again, we're going to get stepped on, we're going to get hurt, and we're going to get wounded. I got a revelation for you. It's going to happen. Come on. The greatest revelation. It's going to happen. Because people are people, and people that are in sin, that don't understand, even Christians, are going to wound you. They're going to hurt you. But the choice is yours and mine to rise up above it, not to be the victim, but to allow the power and the passion of the Holy Spirit to drive us forward to be what God has called us to be. We can lay down and die, or we can get up and say, Lord, today's a new day. Today is a good day. Today is a better day in the Spirit of God. And I choose to move forward in what God has for me to do. And that is to encourage each other in the body of Christ. Number four, last point. Sometimes when we need passion, we need to reach out. When passion's there, we need to reach out to the world. You know what I found out? That when we get outside of ourselves. Oh, I'm going to jump on my soapbox. I'm on it. The problem that we are miserable sometimes is because we don't reach out to others. There is a freedom and there is a liberty that is there that once we start getting outside of what coulda, shoulda, what can you do for me, what about me, what about me, and it all becomes self-centered. When we get out of that realm and we get into the realm and say, Lord, who can I minister to today? You'll be the freest person. You'll be the freest person. I have found that when I'm at my lowest, when I'm discouraged, when I'm oppressed, when I'm dealing, and I know none of you ever go through that. We get hit from time to time. The enemy wants to hit you, but we have a choice. But I have found when I've risen up and I begin to encourage somebody else and minister to somebody else, that fell off of me and dropped off of me. We live in a self-centered society that wants what I want, and if I can't have it, I'll make your life miserable. Instead of turning it around and saying, you know what? This is not about me. This is about a higher calling, a higher purpose, and a higher goal in God. And sometimes you just got to look at self and say, you know what, self, shut up. You need to back off and let God be God and stir up that gift, that anointing, that power, that passion that God has put deep down inside you. You need to stir that up. And you need to be the man or woman of God that God called you to be and quit crying and bawling and squalling. How do I know? Because God does that to me. Amen. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. And sometimes we got to back off and say, Lord, there's a higher purpose about me. But when we make it about God, God is all over you. And he makes it about you. But it first has to be about him. 2 Timothy 1 says this, and here's Paul speaking again. He says, and he has anointed me as his preacher, his apostle, his teacher of truth to the what? To the nations. That's passion. I got a job to do. I got a job to do. Has God been speaking to you about what he wants you to do? I'm not talking about quitting your job or anything. That's not what I'm saying. That's a part of the project. I'm talking about something that God says it's time that you trust me and let me use you to be a vessel of my glory and for honor. Verse 12 says, the confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. You know, Paul had such a passion and calling on him that he knew that when he was called that there was nothing else but serving God and doing what God told him to do. He says, for I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that he is more than able. My faith in him convinces me that he is more than able to keep all that I have placed in his hands safe and secure until the fullness of his appearing. Do you believe that? God is able to keep everything safe for you until he comes back again. In safekeeping. When you have passion, your only goal is to please God. You're never going to please people. You're never going to please everybody. You're not supposed to. Wah, let it go. Wah, out this ear and out the other. Hug them, love them, move on. You don't have time to let people distract you from what God has put in your heart. The enemy will use every avenue of the world to distract us from doing and being what God has called us to be. He'll take the passion right out of you. The enemy will just take it right out of you. And you know what? He uses people to do that. He uses people to come against you, get you so discouraged and bent out of shape, you just want to go, I guess God never called me to do anything. And we begin to doubt ourselves that God has even got a plan and purpose for our life. When we know he does. Amen? Does that make sense? We all go through this. None of us are exempt. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. His purpose and passion were to reach the lost and to stir and motivate Timothy to do the same. Now, I'm going to say this because I can. I'm holding the mic. We do the blessing of the bikers once a year. This will be our 19th annual. It's easy to get burned out and say, wow, it's a tough day. It's a lot of work. We plan it from January all the way till May. A lot of stuff to do. A lot of things you got to do, and it takes you out of your own life sometimes. But the rewards and the benefits that one day when we all stand before God is going to be great. People need Jesus. I don't care what avenue it is. People need Jesus. I don't care if they wear leather or don't wear leather. They need God. And if we can be an instrument and we can be a vessel and we can be all things to all men that we may win some, then we're going to be all things to all men that we may win some. I've had people criticize me for doing this blessing of the bikers, thinking I was nuts out of my head, when I knew God spoke to do it. Even preachers have said things. Even people have said things to me and said, and were very cutting remarks because I'm reaching out to this dirty, rotten type of people in their mind. And I'm thinking to myself, a soul is a soul, no matter if he has leather or doesn't have leather. They're still going to hell. They're still lost without Jesus. But when we are obedient to do what God called us to do, it will be successful because God's in it. And people don't understand why we have the success we have. It's because God said, do it. I didn't ask him for it. I was obedient to do it. And when God says to do something and he's in on it, you don't have to worry about a thing. He's going to foot the bill. He's going to take care of everything. But when we do things to do things just because we want to do them like they do down the street, it won't work. See, God has called Church of the Living Word in a different realm. He's called us to be different. We're not a church for everybody. We're not supposed to be. But we're supposed to be a church to those that don't feel that they have a place to go, they'll be accepted. They need a place where they'll be loved on, they'll be encouraged, they won't be looked down upon, no matter what lifestyle they're in or they've been out of. It doesn't matter in this church. Nothing can make us blush. Amen? Nothing. We've been there. Some of you came out of those lives that would make the devil blush. Why am I saying this? Because God has a plan and a purpose and to fill us full of his passion to reach a world that is dying and lost. Ephesians 2:10, let's look at this. I want to close here. For we are God's masterpiece. Turn to somebody and say, you're God's masterpiece. Honey, you're God's masterpiece. So am I. I still got a lot of kinks to work out, don't I? But we're God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can sit back and do nothing. Watch days of our lives as the stomach turns. You know, sometimes you go to a hospital and you're in a waiting room and they got that plane on there up there and you're going, you know, you could be away from this for 40 years and still catch up. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Passion says, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given just some of us. Oh, excuse me. Each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One, even before we were born. Wow. Even before you existed, and you were a twinkle in your daddy's eye. Even before we're born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. And people are not fulfilling those works of destiny. There's people out there that are running from God. There's ministers that are running from God. When you hear of 1,500 preachers quitting the ministry every month, that's a lot of people around the world. It's hard to believe. They feel underappreciated. They feel abused. They feel burned out. They feel this, 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 and this. Thank God for good people. You guys are good people. I like you. You make my life a little more easier. Passion knows no boundaries when God is leading us. We are appointed as heralds and apostles and teachers and sharers of the gospel. Let me close with this last scripture. We are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the... Where's your world? Your world could... Yeah, exactly, Tom. Our world can be our families. It can be our marriages. It can be our workplaces. It can be our next door neighbors. No matter how much you may not like them, no matter how much they might not like you, there's some neighbors you look and you go, God, how am I going to do this? I remember the first time the neighbors moved on next door. The first thing the guy said to me, he said, you keep your dog off my grass. I didn't even meet. You keep your dog off my grass. And if he messes on my grass, you get over there and you clean it. I'll take care of my dog. You take care of yours. Ah, well, nice to meet you too. I thought, oh my golly, Lord, is this going to be a tough one? I remember one day he was outside, and I went over there. And, you know, you kind of lead him in a place and you set him up. I like setting up people. No, good setup. Good setup. Good, right? Okay. Let me clarify that. You set him up for the gospel. That's what I meant. Okay. So he's talking about certain things, and he brought some things up, and I looked at him, and I started sharing about the love of Jesus. And he started, tears in his eyes. And I had him right there, man, for the kill. To accept Jesus. And he goes, I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. I said, when you're ready, you let me know. I'll pray with you. Okay. Thought he was going to pee his pants or something. You know, he was so shook up. But the thing is, it went from, you keep that dog out of my to being able to share with him the gospel. His whole demeanor changed after that. Totally different person. Totally different person. So God, listen, we're ambassadors to our world, no matter what world you live in. As though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. God is pleading with the world. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. You go into people and you say, God loves you so much. Can you understand how much he loves you? He wants to change your life. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you a new life. Not condemning them, but telling them of God's love. See, the message is the message of reconciliation. God wants you back. God wants you back. See, the gospel's good news, not bad news about telling people that, well, you're all going to hell. But it's a gospel that says, I know somebody that loves you so much, he laid down his life, and if you're still the only person in the world, he still would have done the same thing for you. He'd have laid his life down for you. To be set on fire, we must let God kindle the blaze in our hearts, people. Let me ask you a question. What is your passion this morning? What are you passionate about? What do you need passion for? Are you ready to partner with God and make a difference in this life? Listen, we're in the end times, people. This is the greatest move, the greatest thrust of God we're going to see on the planet. And I believe after the greatest move, the greatest people, billions get saved around the world. I believe with all my heart, the end is even going to be nearer than before. And God wants to use you and me in our world. We should be dragging people into this place. Well, they might get freaked out. Well, let the Holy Spirit decide that. I remember people when they first came into this church years ago, they couldn't get out of the pew because they were blocked in. They told me later, I was trying to get out, but I couldn't. But God got a hold of their hearts, and they just surrendered to God. Listen, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to just love on people and get them free. Success is not the result of a spur-of-a-moment combustion. You must first allow God to set you on fire. Life is worth living when we reach up, we reach in, we reach down, and we reach out. Listen, people, life is worth living when we let God strike the match. When we let God strike the match. When we let God strike the match. God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for us to do. Let's make this the best year. Let's reorganize. Maybe there's some things you're going to have to say no to, and you're going to have to make some decisions, and you're going to have to switch up some things because God has to be number one. Number one. You say, Pastor, I do need that passion back. I feel like it's just been smothered. I feel like it's been people threw water on it. But that's what God's heart is. And the only way that we can do that, people, is to get before God and to reach up to God and say, God, I need you more than I have ever needed you in this world we live in. I need you more. And you know, God's not going to beat you up. He's not going to be mad at you. He's not going to curse you or come against you. But God, by His Holy Spirit, is going to be gentle, and He's going to have you stir up again. That's within you, by the word, by prayer, by praise, by worship, that will all come. I've told the Lord before, I've said, Lord, I need greater passion. I need your passion. I need your passion. I need greater passion. I need that passion like it was my first love, my passion like never before. I'm praying that. I need it just as much as anybody else needs it. For the next phase and the next move of God, I need that in my life. I'm not ashamed to say that. We can never not have enough of God's passion. Amen? All of us need it. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you, we worship you, we glorify your holy name. Lord, we come to you this morning, we humble our hearts before you. And Lord, some of us may be struggling, some of us may feel unworthy, some of us may feel like we've been beat up. Some of us feel like our passion has waned and it's been not what it should be because of situations or circumstances. It doesn't matter. But Father, as your people this morning, we come before you and we ask you to let us burn again, to let us burn like we've never burned before. No, Lord, not going through maintenance mode, not just get by. But we're asking you, Holy Spirit, for your unction, your anointing, your power, your glory, that fire. You said that if we ask you for the baptism, you'd baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, Lord, we need a rekindling of that fire in our hearts today as a body, as a believers, as your people. And, Lord, I know it's not only us, but those that are listening to this, my voice, they're asking for the same thing. Those around the world, in other countries, they're asking for the fire, for the passion, to finish the work that you call them to do. Father, thank you. We love you, and we just worship you for what you're going to do. Lord, let us leave this place today. Let us set aside some time before we go to bed, and let us speak our hearts to you. Let us ask you, Holy Spirit, to put back again what the enemy tried to take away. Whatever we let go, whatever we allowed. Holy Spirit, we need you from the top of our head all the way down to soles of our feet, saturate us with your glory. We ask this in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus the Christ. And everybody said, amen. Hey, Chad, can we close with